Kia ora. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here. So as Paul said, my name is Andrew Bolin, and I'm one of the pastors at Wellington Central Baptist, and I see some of our ex-people out here, so it's good to see you guys. I'm married to Xanthia, as Paul said. We have four children, and one who is deceased, and we have five mokopuna, or grandchildren, and we had two of them in the last 3 months. So, well, we didn't have them, but our kids did. And so we're really excited about that, and especially because one of them lives just up the road in Upper Hutt. That means we get to go and see him quite often. So that's a great thing. It's a great stage of life to have those little ones around. And as Paul said, one of the roles that I hold is also that of the chair of the Mission Council for the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. It's a role that involves overseeing all our meetings as a council, but it also involves working with the general director to see that NZBMS fulfills our mandate of helping New Zealand Baptist churches engage in global mission. So we don't exist for ourselves, and we don't exist to take people from churches like you and then send them away and we get all the credit. Our mandate is to partner with you as a church, or any church in New Zealand, and to help you catch a vision for mission and to help you engage in doing that globally around the world. So that's our role as a Mission Council and as NZBMS, is to help you guys engage in mission. And so it's great to be with you this morning as you begin this journey into seeing what God is doing around the world and thinking about prayer and self-denial. And I've had a couple of conversations with Paul about what you guys are exploring, and I just want to say how excited I am to have a church like you and people like Paul saying, hey, we want to get in behind this particular thing that you guys are doing, and we want to invest our time and energy into it. Because that's what we need to see. We need to see churches like you that grab the vision for what God is doing and then get involved in it. So I want to start with a story that comes from Scripture. This is the Scripture reading today. I'm going to tell it as a story. It had been a long day, a really, really long day, and I was pretty tired. It hadn't started with the best of news. In fact, the news at the beginning of the day was terrible. Herod had just beheaded John, Jesus' cousin, all because Herod had been trying to impress his wife's daughter. And Jesus was naturally upset by this news, and he wanted some time alone. And so me and the others, we'd grabbed the boat and we'd taken him across the Galilee, away from all the crowds who were constantly following after him. But blow me down, you wouldn't believe it. When we got to the other side of the lake, there were heaps of people already there. Heaps of people who had made their way around the edge of the lake to make sure that they got there to see where Jesus was. So here was Jesus wanting some downtime, and now he's faced with all these people wanting him to spend time with him. And so Jesus, he ends up spending the rest of the day healing all those who were sick and talking with all the people. And by evening, I was pretty over all these crowds. So I went with the other disciples to Jesus and I said, look, Jesus, there's nothing to eat here and it's getting late. Tell all the people to go home. And Jesus looks at me and the others and he says, well, they don't have to go home. How about you guys just feed them? And I was gobsmacked. Oh, good one, Jesus. How are we going to feed all these people? There aren't any shops around here. There's no KFC or McDonald's. All we have is one lunch. Five loaves of bread and two fish. And then, you know, the next thing, Jesus has blessed the food and he started divvying it up and it just keeps on coming. Enough food to feed everybody that was there, all 5,000 of them. It was all pretty amazing seeing Jesus perform miracles like that. And then Jesus sent everyone back home. And he told us to go back across the lake because he was going to stay here and pray. So off we went in the boat, making our way across the lake against the wind. So it was a pretty slow trip. But we were excited, talking about what Jesus had done, healing all those people and making all that food. Was there anything that Jesus couldn't do? And then, out of the corner of my eye, I see this shape making its way across the waves. And when the others saw it, they thought it was a ghost. And they began freaking out, screaming like little kids. And then it spoke to us, telling us it was Jesus himself and not to be afraid. And I was thinking about all that Jesus had done that day. And the next thing, I don't know why, I blurted out, "Hey, Jesus, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you across the water." Duh. What a dumb thing to say. But I guess I got all excited. And anyway, Jesus calls out to me and he says, "Come on then. Come on then." So I did. I rolled up my trousers and I stepped over the gunwale and out onto the waves. And I could feel the water beneath my feet, all wet but solid. And I was walking on the water. Pretty cool. And then I heard the sound of the waves crashing against the boat. And I began to look at the waves and the water. And in that moment, when I stopped looking at Jesus, I began to sink. "Save me," I shouted. And as I started to go under, Jesus reached out, he grabs my hand, and I stopped sinking. "You don't have a lot of faith, do you?" says Jesus. And then together, we got back in the boat. I must say, thought you'd enjoy that. I must say, I felt a little bit embarrassed at my lack of faith that day. But I've never forgotten what happened. And Jesus' invitation to step out onto the water, to take a risk, to try something new. Something that I thought would be impossible. End of the story. Taking a risk for God, following God into new things, is not always easy. And yet faith requires us to do that. To believe, to trust in things that we can't yet see clearly. To go places that we have never been before. Today is the first Sunday of your series in self-denial for 2019. And as Paul said, self-denial is our annual appeal run by NZBMS. And during this appeal, we want to encourage people to pray for us and to give money towards the work that we do of sharing the good news of Jesus globally. So as New Zealand Baptists, we've had people serving overseas since 1886, primarily based in what we would call Asia, so the Indian, Asian, sort of that bandwidth up in there. This is our current group of families that are serving overseas. Much of the work that we do is based with people groups where Christians are a minority and where people are often poor and often marginalised, the least of the least. It involves working in children's education, business development, community development, working with the local churches that are already there, and also what we call freedom initiatives, helping people, primarily women, escape the sex trade. All done as a way of demonstrating the love of Jesus to people who have never heard about it before. But of course, we need your support to keep those people there and to support the ministries that they are involved with. So we want to challenge you to consider what you might be able to give to support them. Now, Paul has suggested some ways that you can do it. In our church currently at Central, our challenge is that everybody considers to give one day's pay over the period that we're doing self-denial. Why don't you give one day's pay as a way of really denying yourself? In a church that I was in a few years ago, when I first started ministry, in our church, they used to challenge people to give a week's pay, which is really about self-denial, because that's, you know, a considerable sum of money. So I'm not suggesting that, but if you wanted to go that, well, why not? You know, you can really deny yourself. You'd have to go have had a few ice creams and all of those sorts of things to do that, though. So we also want you to pray, because prayer is actually really, really important to us. And I just want to tell you about a couple of things that we need prayer for right now. One is around what's happening with Freeset. Some of you may have heard that Freeset is in a bit of a financial strife at the moment, and we're in the process of looking at this merger process that's going on. We need your prayer around all of that, about how we work with the women that are involved, how we make good decisions that will enable us to remain in the communities that we're in for a long period of time. So we really need your prayer around that issue. One of the other ones is that we have a couple of situations with people who are on the field where their situations have changed quite drastically, and we really need prayer about what they need to do in the future. So I can't tell you the details, but please pray for our people. They are under a lot of pressure spiritually when they go and serve in these places. You know, they don't have the stuff that we have to support them often. Often they're alone. They may not even have other Europeans around them. So we do need for you to be able to pray for them at this time. And then, of course, the other one is we are in the process of appointing a new general director for NZBMS. And I think it's this coming week. There's going to be some interviews taking place with prospective applicants. So we would love for you to be praying for that whole thing. So during the week, if you get some time where you might like to give, I saw in your little paper, slip in your newsletter, Paul has suggested, or someone has suggested, that you give up a TV program one night, and instead of watching TV, you pray for something. So there's three things that you could be praying for overseas, as well as you could also pray for what your church is looking at engaging with as you come up to your meeting later this week. So our theme this year is called Where God Leads, and the invitation is for us to listen to God's voice and to be willing to try out new things, even if they may seem impossible, a bit like walking on water. Now, Arnie is a pastor at Manukau Central Baptist Church, and this year, or end of last year, he travelled across and went right around all our mission fields, and they took a media team with him, and they videoed him and the things that were going on for him. And so we've got a little clip that we just want to show you where Arnie talks a little bit about what he's experiencing. So have a watch of this clip.
So we arrived in India last night, and you just get assaulted by this place, and you just kind of wonder, where am I going to find love, joy, peace, kindness, especially peace in a city like this?
Our travels have brought us to a land where the people are friendly. God is here, and we come knowing that He who has started the work is more than faithful to complete it.
We've just been in this amazing church that has got so much history. So William Carey, the forefather of overseas missions, set up this church here. And he said something pretty cool: expect great things from God and attempt great things from God. Even this, we can see that people in the past have expected great things for God. But for the future, like this fire here, we've got to attempt great things for God.
One way we are doing this is through business. 400 women employed by Freeset, Love Calcutta Arts, and the Loyal Workshop are now on a journey of wholeness and spiritual transformation.
So almost always a woman's story will start with poverty, will start with a lack of education, often starts with being married in her childhood, and often involves their male protector dying, so whether that's her husband or whether it's her father. And a woman that doesn't have her male protector in Indian culture becomes very vulnerable to being trafficked. Usually tricked or sold or stolen into the trade. These women are not choosing it for themselves. This is something that is being decided for them by someone else.
I just couldn't help but just have my heart just lifted when you just see people set free. This is like heaven on earth. that this is what we work for when we take people the gospel, that we want to give them complete freedom that they have in Jesus. And we get a taste of what heaven's like, where nations join together and we just lift our voices to the Lord.
A 4-hour train trip north of the city takes us into a poor rural district.
The village we're in at the moment and the area we're in, only 0.02% of people are followers of Jesus. We went to a village yesterday and some of the things that I saw that are dictated by the majority faith in this place just really disturbed me. The way women are treated just was really quite upsetting. I didn't sleep that well last night.
In a place that seems so dark, we are making known the hope that is found in Jesus.
So for me, I just heard two of the women's testimonies. One of them, she said that it got to a point where she had no hope, no future, no way to earn an income, no way to care for her children. She decided she'd either have to commit suicide or somehow get a job. She managed to get a job in one of our Freedom businesses. Just the smile on her face, the way she's able to now look after not only her children, but her parents as well. And that's something that we as New Zealand Baptists are part of her story.
We're making a difference. A 1-hour car ride north of the city takes us to a town rich in mission history. The gospel was brought to this town over 200 years ago, and this is where we have been led as New Zealand Baptists to continue the work that was started so many years before.
Just one thing you notice being out on the mission field is just what a long-term commitment this is, that learning language isn't easy, that learning a culture isn't easy, that fitting into somewhere that's different isn't easy. It's a long-term commitment, and for us as people back at home in New Zealand Baptist Churches, we have to be prepared to encourage people to make that long-term commitment and then support them for that commitment.
We're attempting great things. And we're expecting great things from God. Pray for the people we have sent. Pray for the people they are serving. And pray for God's faithfulness to be evident in our work overseas.
So William Carey is quoted as part of that video. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Carey is often talked of as the father of modern missions. He's the one who looked out at the world and he asked the question, who's going to go and take the gospel to people who have never heard it? And the story says actually that he was told, sit down, young man, if God wants to do that, someone else will do it. But he did go on to do it. And he challenged the people of his time and place in the late 1700s to think about places like India, and the need to share Jesus with people in that place. He was prepared to take great risks and attempt great things for the sake of the gospel, and he expected that God would come to the party and do great things as well. Hudson Taylor is another missionary who said, unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, in our exploits, there is no need for faith. Unless there is an element of extreme risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. In other words, if we aren't taking a risk for God, we're probably thinking too small. Peter, in the story we heard about earlier, has seen Jesus turn two small fish and five loaves of bread into enough to feed thousands. He's listened to Jesus teach and watched how the crowds have followed after him. He's watched as Jesus has healed people from sickness and as he's cast out evil spirits. And then he sees Jesus walking on the water. And in that moment, he believes that he can as well. In that moment, Peter brushes aside all logic and he decides to step out and trust Jesus. And Peter ignores everything he knows, especially about water. Because remember, Peter is a fisherman. He knows what water is. And instead, in that moment, he chooses to trust Jesus and he takes the biggest risk of his life. And he steps out of the boat and onto the water. He accepts Jesus' invitation to get out of the boat. So I wonder about myself and you as a church, and the things God has been inviting you all to engage in. What has God placed before you as a church that is inviting you to step out of a boat and to take a risk for him? What is the thing that God has before you guys as a church? And I wonder what God is inviting you personally to engage with at this time. At what stage are we willing to step out of the boat, the safety of doing what we have always done, and do something for God that involves a risk? And what that looks like will be different for each one of us. Perhaps for you, it may just be talking to another person at church. You know, if you're an introvert, that could be the most difficult thing in the world for you to do. But that might be what God is inviting you to do. Or maybe he's inviting you to invite a friend from work or school to your place for a meal. Or maybe it means inviting someone to church or volunteering to do something that you find really scary. Or maybe God is inviting you to use your ability to make money or possessions in a different way to demonstrate God's love to others. Or perhaps, maybe even in this room, God is inviting someone here to give up your comfortable life in New Zealand and to follow Jesus overseas to serve him in another country. Maybe some of those ideas freak you out. They should do. Talking to others is scary. Letting others into our nice homes is risky. Serving overseas? Well, my family would say I'm nuts. Perhaps we're scared of what our friends think or what our family will say if we take such a step. But getting out of the boat for God and out of our comfort zone is never easy. It involves risk, and risk always carries with it the possibility of failure and the possibility that we will end up looking stupid. Perhaps we're a bit like Peter. We're scared that our attempt to get out of the boat will end up with us just sinking beneath the waves. Just remember this, that when Peter took that step out of the boat, Jesus was there with him. That when he began to sink, it was Jesus who reached out his hand and took his hand and kept him above the water. And Jesus has promised to be with us wherever we go for his sake, even if we end up failing in what we do. You know, over the years, NZBMS has taken some big risks. We've taken on some things that we knew were really a bit beyond us. And some of those things have not always worked out. People that we invested in got sick or came home. In fact, our very first missionary, Rosalie McGeorge, went out and died on the mission field just 2 years after she had gone. Businesses that we have started have run into financial trouble and have had to be closed down or changed. We took risks and they didn't all pan out. But at the same time, some of the risks that we took have seen great results happen, even in what has appeared at the time to be a failure. Even in what appeared to be a failure. People's lives were still transformed, communities were given hope, new possibilities emerged, and the gospel was planted in those places, regardless of what happened to us. And in it all, we have seen God bring new life to new people. You see, what we've discovered is that God is at work, and our willingness to be involved and to serve has seen great things happen. You know, I wonder when was the last time that we or you or I expected something great from God. Perhaps we've got so used to the normal routine of life that we no longer really expect God to do anything at all. Sure, we believe God loves us and we believe God cares for us, But somehow we don't really expect God to be involved in the day-to-day events of life. And perhaps, as Hudson Taylor suggests, our failure to try anything for God that requires an element of risk has actually shut the door to us seeing God at work in our lives and in the lives of others. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesians, said this: God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever dream or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. So what is God inviting us, you, me, to do? Earlier this year, I was able to go to Freeset and Loyal, which are two of our freedom businesses, and watch our people in action on the ground. I love seeing their care and concern for the people that they are working with. Many of you will be familiar with Kerry and Annie and the work that they do at Freeset amongst sex workers. But I want to tell you about another young couple that I got to sit with while I was there. And this should be them coming up here. So this is Joel and Lizzie. They're a young couple, recently married, who have chosen to go and live in the slums, in a community where the main source of income is prostitution. And they work for a business called Loyal, teaching the women a trade that enables them to escape from being prostitutes. And these women are learning how to make high-end leather products and also at the same time gain life skills that will enable them to take control of their own lives. I sat in a room with them and with all the women that work with them as Joel and Lizzie spoke to them in their native language, in Bangla. And they shared God's love with them, they worshipped together, and they talked about the routine for the day, the work that was to be covered. I was so impressed with how well they spoke. Here's a couple that have totally immersed themselves in the language of the people that they live with. And they spoke it so well. And I was so impressed with them, really was. Their desire to engage with another culture, to learn the heart language of that culture, that they can share the love of Jesus with those people. And it's obvious when you watch the woman that they are working with that they are loved in return. But what they are doing isn't easy. The buildings are old and dirty. The streets are noisy and smelly. That's the view from off the top of their building. The streets are noisy and smelly, and it's so hot and so sticky because there's no air conditioning or anything in their building. And it's 35 to 40 degrees the day I was there. But Joel and Lizzie believe that this is where God has called them to serve. They both have degrees, good degrees. They could be back here in New Zealand making lots and lots of money, owning all the toys that we in the West have come to believe that we need to own. But instead, they have sacrificed so much for the sake of others and for the sake of the kingdom of God. They have stepped out of the boat, taken a risk, and put their whole lives and their future in the hands of Jesus. And as a result of that, God is using them. People's lives are being transformed. People are discovering God's love for them and for the community in which they live. So I have huge respect for this couple. And I find them incredibly challenging, but also incredibly inspiring. I began this morning with the story of Peter in the boat and the invitation from Jesus to step out of the boat and onto the water and to walk towards him. Are we willing to step out in faith and attempt something for God? That is God's invitation to each one of us here this morning. Will you step out of the boat, your nice, comfortable, whatever it is, the place where you feel safe, will you step out of that place and out onto the water, that place that is risky, where you don't know what's going to happen, and where you need Jesus beside you in order to stay afloat? Because in those places, we discover what it means to really trust Jesus. So this week, may we be a people who are prepared to take a risk for God, willing to talk with others, willing to serve the least and the lowest for Jesus, willing to be the hands of Jesus wherever he may lead us, willing together to try new things in order that others may discover God's love. Amen. Thanks, Paul.